So let's discuss a little bit about desserts. So Gemara, we learn in the Gemara that there's a klal that anything that comes, all the foods, dvarim habaim machmas asuda, it says. Any food that comes because of the suda, which means you're eating because you want to be full, the person eats a meal because he wants to be satiated. So anything that comes besocha suda within the meal, meaning a person says a motzi, their meal is consisted of bread, pretty much. Bread, it always had bread, and then there's food in between. I don't think there existed a meal without bread in those times. In fact, when Mishnah Berurah talks about mea brachos, there's a requirement of saying 100 brachos every single day. So he assumes with davar pasha, the person has two meals of bread every single day, so he takes into account the brachos of Birkas HaMazon as part of the 100 bracha count. Twice a day they would wash in bread. So every meal they had would pretty much include bread and hamotzi. So any food that would be because of the suda, which is meaning to satiate you, and it would come during the suda, you don't require bracha beforehand, and you don't require bracha afterwards. Like anything else, like meat and or cheese or fish, that's all part of the meal. But if it's a type of food that you eat shalom achmas suda, you're not eating for the purpose of the food. You're not eating for the purpose of filling you up and satiating you. So then that requires a bracha beforehand. That was what we call a dessert type of food. It doesn't require, rather it requires a bracha beforehand, a ha'etz on fruit, or perhaps a shakal on candy, but it does not require bracha afterwards. The benching is going to cover that. So those are the two topics we're going to discuss. What's considered part of the actual meal, and what's considered separate from the meal as dessert. So let's look through the poskim. So the Shulchan Aruch paskins this way, and he starts to give some examples. What does it mean, machmas suda? What examples of foods that you would eat during the meal in order to satiate you? So it appears in Simon Kuf Ein Zayin. Shulchan Aruch writes, what are dvarim habam machmas suda that are coming to fill you up? He says, there are things that are dvarim shederech lekvoa suda lem, things that you would be kover sudan, lelapes behenes apas, which would normally mean to eat it with the bread. You dip the bread in it. You have a sandwich. And the examples he gives could go in basar, having meat, v'dagim fish, u'beitzim, eggs, v'irakos, vegetables, v'gvina, cheese, v'daisa, some type of porridge, u'mine mluchim, some type of salty foods, afilu ochlim belopas. So you don't have to actually eat it with bread, but the things that would normally be eaten with bread. Now this could change over time, of course. Meat is probably more often eaten without bread than it is with the bread, but of course people do have sandwiches with bread, with meat. But this change over time, but these are what people are kaveh their meals on. You're going to have meat, that's going to be not a dessert, that's going to be your main part of the meal. So with the Mishnah Berurah, rather what the Shulchan Aruch writes is, even if you don't eat it with the actual bread, that's going to be included in the hamotzi and your yote, all the food you eat during the course of that meal. So what the Magen Avraham writes is something very, very important here. He says, the reason why, we're going to get a little bit machlokas, what the svar is, why that's true, why does the hamotzi cover all the foods in the middle of the meal, but he writes that all those foods that you eat, the meat and the cheese, they're tafel to the pas. Sounds like he's working with ikr v'tafel. You say bracha on the ikr, which is the bread, and it's going to exempt the tafel, the secondary food, which is going to be the meat and the cheese and everything else. So therefore, the Magen Avraham concludes, im ein chafetz lechel pas, you really don't want to eat bread. And ocha ma'at pas, you eat it anyways, mevarach alav hamotzi, ein poteh machalim. So this was the case you guys were discussing the Chinese restaurant. The guy has a Chinese restaurant, or he's going to the sushi place, and you don't know what bracha to say. It's just so much easier for me to say hamotzi on a piece of bread, and that's going to exempt everything else. I really don't want the bread, though. I'm trying to diet. So I'm avoiding all carbs. Chinese restaurant isn't much better either, all the fried food. But whatever, you're going to a salad place.
No, you're going to the Chinese restaurant and you get
I'm saying for the diet. I've got steamed chicken. Okay.
Okay,
exactly. Thank you.
It's a good example, though. You get steamed chicken.
Either way, you're trying to get the bread only to exempt all the issues of brachas, so you don't really want the bread. So in that case, says the Magen Avraham, that the bread does not exempt the foods in that scenario. Okay.
Say again.
If you're not really interested in the bread, you really don't want to eat the bread, you're just saying a motzi on the bread just to exempt you from the other bread, make life easier for you. If that's the only reason, but you have no desire at all, that doesn't work. That will not exempt the rest of the bread.
The rest of the meal.
The rest of the meal, thank you. Now he says, kol shekein im ochel pachos mikedayis. And certainly, if you have less than a kedayis, that won't work either. Let's say you are interested in bread, but you really only want a small piece of bread for whatever reason. So you have a tiny piece of bread they have by the washing station. You're interested in it. You want it. You want that little crunchy bread they left out for the whole day that became stale now. So you want it. You take the little crunch, but it's less than a kazayas. Says the Magen Avraham, it doesn't work. It doesn't work to exempt the rest of the food. So when you want to use the bread to exempt the food, you have to have a kazayas of bread, and you have to want to eat the bread.
What about if you're eating a salad that has the croutons in it? You clearly are not interested in the croutons. You're interested in the salad. It just happens to be that the salad has croutons.
Right. So that's an issue of ikar v'tafel, because you do want the croutons, but you're eating them as part of the entire salad. So salad gets very complicated. Which is the ikar, which is the tafel? They all play a role. And plus, the croutons are bread, and hamotzi usually overtakes everything else.
So therefore, let's say you wash in order to be... Would that be the same problem?
I don't think so, because you want the bread. You do want those croutons.
But how much of that salad you know, do you have to eat
to get bread? No, that's a different point in terms of making hamotzi habirkasimos and afterwards. It's a very good point. How much bread do you eat in what span of time? But you do want to eat those croutons. So you can say hamotzi separately on a piece of bread, because you want bread, and that will exempt the entire salad. Now, but Rob's question is a good question. Do you eat enough of the bread in Kedach Lias Pras in order to require a mochi afterwards? So in that case...
No, you mean benching afterwards.
The bench afterwards.
Is there such a thing?
So in, yeah,
is eating bread and not benching?
Yes. So in that case, the lacha would be, so in order to bench, or say any bracha achrona, you have to have the shear, a right amount of shear, the kazais, in the right amount of time. So by salad, you've certainly eaten food within the 9 minutes, which is the longest span, so that would certainly require boi nefashos. If you didn't have enough bread in that span of time, you wouldn't require benching. So what I would do in that case, I would have a separate piece of bread, a kazayas of bread, to ensure that, exactly, before or after, but probably have it before. I wouldn't want to eat afterwards.
We've said this before, but that's a problem by just almost any meal.
Yeah.
Regardless of whether it's a salad or not.
100%.
People sit down for the kamotzi.
Yes.
You know, more often, I shouldn't say more often than not, but it seems often that people just take a little bite of the bread and make it.
Exactly. So this is going to be next week's discussion a little bit about a person goes to a wedding. And he washes a little bit, but doesn't have enough bread. He takes a part of those crackers, maybe. He washes a tiny bit. But he's full because he's eating the meat and then the potato, whatever they're giving him. Forget smorgasbord. These guys stuffed. But the actual bread he had was less than a kazayas. Do you combine all that food with the bread? So some say only if the food is eaten with the bread do you combine it as a kazayas of bread. But if it's eaten separate, you don't. And others, like Ramosha, say no. Once you have a little bit of bread and you wanted the bread, so then the other food does combine together and you would have to bench afterwards. So that's next week's discussion. We'll get to that.
But if it came to the first reason, and my erroneous thought always has been, and I had said that you use the bread as the umbrella for everything, in that case, then that little bit of bread was still okay? In the first opinion...
Different opinion. Okay. So now the Mishabur Paskin does follows. Mishabur writes that when is a bread poter, when does a bread, the moti, exempt the other food? Again, only if you want to have the bread and you have a kazayas. So he writes here that he quotes from the Achronim, there's a suffix, if bread, that you really don't want, if it really is able to exempt the other foods. So he says, therefore it's advisable that a person should not say bracha on bread. You go to the Chinese restaurant, you shouldn't say that little hamotzi on the bread. And better for you to say separate brachas on each of the items that you are eating. Unless it's on Shabbos and Yom Tov, where there's a mitzvah to eat a kazayas of bread, so then you certainly should eat a kazayas of bread. Because since we just assume you want the bread, and there's a mitzvah to have bread on Shabbos and Yom Tov, that will exempt the rest of the foods, even though you really don't want the food. We assume that there's some level of ruts on there. But during the week...
Is that a case where any place where you're being kovei asuda?
Only by a mitzvah. He says only the svar is... The imlo b'shabbos v'yamtif da'oz mitzvah le'echol kazayis b'pas.
Is it a wedding now?
Wedding, so it's a very good question. So a wedding, it wouldn't be the same that you don't, I guess there's a mitzvah, there's no obligation to have it, but when you do eat it, there is some level of sudas mitzvah that you are partaking in, but it's not a mitzvah. A sudas mitzvah is not a mitzvah. I'm eating a suda of a mitzvah, but itself isn't a mitzvah, so I don't think that would qualify. But
say again, what's the difference between Shabbos and weekday?
Shabbos and Yom Tov, there's a mitzvah for me to eat bread. So when I eat that bread, I'm fulfilling a mitzvah.
Right.
So they assume I want that mitzvah. So that's I want that bread to get the mitzvah. So that's considered enough of a desire to eat that bread for it to exempt the other foods. But if I'm going during the week, I'm going to a wedding, So yes, it's a suda's mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah for me to eat, but the suda that's attached to a mitzvah. I don't really want the bread, but it's just much easier for me to wash and say a motzi. Then it wouldn't work if I really don't want. He doesn't know if it works, actually. So therefore, he advises better not to wash. Better not to wash in those cases. I usually don't wash at weddings. I'm not really interested in the bread. Even though the suda's mitzvah, I'm not. Sometimes I do, but usually I'm not interested in the bread, and I just have the food.
Good for you. And this okay. Mishnah Brewer is commenting on the Magen Av.
He's commenting on the Magen Avraham. He's using the Magen Avraham and explaining that therefore what should be done is really avoid having bread unless a person really, really wants to have the bread. Okay.
Rabbi Weinberger said the same.
Yeah? Okay, good. Fine. Now what comes out, there's interesting just a side point here. This whole debate, whether a less than a piece of bread, a less than Kazai's piece of bread rather, or the lack of desire to have bread, whether that really exempts the bread or not, is really dependent on what's the reason why, when I say a motzi, does it exempt the other food? So the Aruch HaShulchan has a very interesting discussion here.
There's a different reason, right?
Yeah, he brings exactly two different reasons as to why a motzi would exempt the other pieces, other foods over the course of the meal. Aruch HaShulchan writes it as follows. He says that first he quotes that the bread does exempt the other foods. Even if you don't eat the foods with the bread, you have the bread first, and then you have meat separately, it will exempt all that food. So the reason is because it's tam ki'ikr. But he says, in addition to the concept of tam ki'ikr, there's another reason, something called the birkas hamazon, rather birkas hamotzi, has the ability to exempt other foods. It's a din, it's a chiddush in birchas hamotzi. Hamotzi is able to cover all foods, not because of the concept of ikir v'tafel. Let me read this through here. He says, those foods that people eat with bread, it's not because of tam kikr only, it's because the tam of the birchas hamazon, of birchas hamotzi, covers all those foods that are even without the bread. So again, he says, some things that the Yesha Echad Masha Pas Poter, there's some things that bread exempts. Those are foods that are eaten with the actual bread. That's Tamkik, Iker V'Tafel. Iker V'Tafel is a klal. When I say brach on the Iker, it exempts the Tafel. That's only true when they're eaten together. So let's say, for example, I'm eating French fries with ketchup. So they're together, so the Hadama on the French fries covers the ketchup as well. So applying that klal over to bread, ikar v'tafel would only apply to the bread eaten with the pastrami, that they come together. But if you eat them separately, ikar v'tafel doesn't apply anymore. If I have rice here, and I have, French rice here, and I'm eating ketchup separately with my finger, the fries are not going to cover my ketchup that's eaten separately through the mechanism of the ikar v'tafel. So it can't be ikar v'tafel that's what's being used here in this patur. Because we said, the Shulchan Aruch Paskins, if I have bread separately, and then meat separately, the bread will still cover the meat that's eaten separate from the bread. So it can't be ikar v'tafel. So therefore, the Aruch HaShulchan concludes, you know what the reason is?
Only according to him. The other person doesn't have a problem with it.
He says the hamotzi has this ability to be poteris. All foods during the meal, any food that's being eaten to satiate you, the hamotzi has the ability to exempt it. Not because of ikar v'tafel. There's a new klal that hamotzi is able to cover all other foods. So that's the two different reasons he brings.
Is the reason because it's under the category of it has the ability to satiate you?
That's what it sounds like. He doesn't really elaborate so much. I'll read the lashon here.
It just says it is.
He says, Masha birkas hamotzi poteres, hainu. The reason is, kol shebam l'shem achila v'sfia, any food that comes about because of food and satiating, berov tafshilam, because of the amount of eating shalanu, hain ikr suda. It's part of the suda. Hamotzi begins the suda, so the suda now lasts until I bench, and any food becomes part of that suda that hamotzi kind of covers. But it requires a little bit more fine-tuning. He doesn't explain enough to it. But it's not ikar v'tafel, because again, ikar v'tafel is limited to those foods that are eaten together. Hamotzi has the ability to eat even exempt foods that are not eaten with it.
So where does it get it from?
We discussed satiating a lot yesterday.
Yeah.
We thought maybe it was a satiating. Uh-huh. But here, then this isn't going to work for the dessert. Then this would technically cover the dessert. Or no?
No, because we'll see in a second.
Yeah.
Dessert is defined by food that does not come to satiate.
Okay, so maybe it is to satiate.
Right, so that's an important part. It's definitely an important part of it.
So, if a person has, for example,
although it does,
a chocolate type crepe.
I like after meat, I like to have a piece of chocolate, and obviously not milk and chocolate. It's there's a, almost an it is a part. I'm not talking about having a piece of cake or a cookie later on, but let's say chocolate oftentimes in the evening. I like chocolate after the meal. So I'm anticipating that I'll have chocolate. I know that I'll have chocolate if there is chocolate in the cabinet. Right. And so piece of chocolate comes right out almost.
So we'll get to the
mealtime.
So we'll get to the dessert in the second half in just a moment. We'll discuss those cases.
So in this case, when we're talking about how we eat bread, we have to look at when this originally occurred. Meaning, when they had bread, they had it definitively with their meal. Not on Shabbos per se, meaning that they had it with their meal either as a sandwich, as this extra, you know, like as this together. And it's almost like there came this, all of a sudden, this Chinese restaurant that came. They didn't have Chinese restaurant. Or these things that they would eat a little. Because in this way, there was no reason, in any reason, logical to have this little piece of bread before you went to Shmuel or anything, because there was no logic that the bread, it was. So here, that's how I was trying to figure out how they got to this. What were they eating? What were they doing?
I'm not sure exactly. I don't know. But either way, the point is that, again, if a person, the question here is bread going to exempt the food? We're saying the bread exempts all food as long as you have a kazayas and you really want to eat the bread. The second question is, do you have to eat the bread actually with the food or not with the food? That's dependent on this machlokas of ikra tafel versus not.
You said, if I get it correctly, falls under what Rob was intimating before in regards to the idea of the suda is an umbrella, and since the bread starts or opens up that umbrella, then everything is included within it.
That would be the Aruch HaShulchan. That's his chiddush, his reason. Where he gets this from, I don't know, but that's his chiddush, in which case that would explain why even foods that are not eaten with the actual bread would be covered under this umbrella of food. So that...
Is Ikra and Tafel a location-dependent concept?
According to the other, right?
No, I understand. Yeah. No, according to this. Because, for example, with French fries and ketchup, so it's French fries and ketchup, is it only Ikra and Tafel if I happen to be taking the French fry and dipping it into the ketchup? Or is it enough that they're sitting right next to each other and sometimes I take this and sometimes I take that?
But nobody eats ketchup by itself.
Yeah.
Some people
generally not. I mean, we're talking about the general way of eating is. So even if you have ketchup on the table...
No, I'm not talking about the table.
You could have them separately. Right. According to the second opinion, you can.
Ikra tafel is certainly a different topic, but just the basic of ikra tafel, the question only gets off the ground if there's a mixture. The chont would be a great example. Just to highlight for a second, let's say I have a mixture of the chont. What bracha do I say in chont? So, mizonos is the barley, is the ikra. But let's say I've got big chunks of potato. Big chunks of meat, you would say separate brachas. Now, how to define how big, that's another discussion. But if there's big enough that you could take it up separately, even though it's a mixture, you would say it's on bracha. So it has to be a mixture.
So it's possible, my grandson personally likes the potatoes. He can eat all the potatoes in any chunk. So he could care less about having the barley.
Right.
So it's possible that different people make different brachas on the same food?
I think ikra tafel might go base. Again, it gets more complicated with barley is always the ikra. Mizonos are always the ikra. So you can't really... But the mizonos, you can't say an adama to cover a mizonos, though, in that situation.
I'm saying, in other words, he
only eats
in his case, he would eat the potatoes and leave over the barley. But it's possible that the barley gets in...
Uh-huh.
It's a chillin.
Right.
I mean, that's the definition.
It could never be a tafel to
so
the
really,
potato.
What's the right bracha?
Not sure. We'll have to get there, if we get there.
And it's pretty interesting that different people make different brachas on the same food.
Right.
You said that on sushi.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
That's the problem.
So sushi is very complicated, right? Sushi is very complicated.
Sorry.
Okay.
Sushi is very fishy.
Let's go weiter now in the shulchan. So that really covers the first half of when does bread exempt the food. That's only, again, if a person wants to have the bread and he has a kazayas of bread, then it certainly can. If it's less than a kazayas or he doesn't want the bread, then it's a suffix whether a person should really rely on that bread and avoid washing in that scenario. Better to say separate brachas in each of the food items that you'll be eating. Okay. Now let's move to the second half of the Shulchan Aruch based on the Gemara, that foods that are lo mach masa suda, that do not come about because of the suda, which are things that are ein derech likboa suda alem, where a person is not, would not typically be koveh suda, have a meal on these items. And the examples that the Shulchan Aruch brings are te'enim, figs, anavim, or grapes, and kol mine peros, other types of fruit as well. Now, I don't want to discuss the situation that gets appetizers having melon on the table, or fruit during the course of the meal. My father-in-law will always, during the meal, just bring an apple, start eating an apple with the rest of his food, so that for him, he would normally have fruit during his meal. Those are other halachas. But right now we're talking about dessert alone. Just desserts.
Oh, really?
Just desserts right now.
I thought we were talking about meats and adamah.
Right. Okay.
And I was very surprised that it is the way.
So you said
I thought,
not to say
I spoke to Rabbi Weinberger, because Sephardim, my family, you know, parts of my family would bring the Eitz and Adamah on Shabbos to make sure to get more brachas,
right,
and they'd always do it.
Correct.
And I never saw the Ashkenazim generally do that, and he said, that's true. Sephardim keep it separate, make a separate bracha, Ashkenazim include it, and don't make a separate bracha.
When did they say the extra bracha?
It's included in
Fine. So let's discuss desserts now. So the examples that the Shulchan Aruch bring are only desserts such as fruit. So now if you look at the Mishnah Berurah Sifkat and Dala, the Mishnah Berurah writes, not only fruit, v'chein kol davar sheba rak l'kinuach v'lo l'hasbia, not only fruits, but any other food item that a person would come, l'kinuach means to clean, to complete the meal, as some type of sweetness at the end, v'lo l'hasbia, but it's not there to satisfy you, to satiate you, that would also require its own bracha.
So like an after-dinner mint or something?
Certainly after-dinner mint would certainly be included in that. And any dessert foods that person would eat to just as a little sweet taste, as opposed to filling a person up. And fruits are examples of things that fill, that do not fill people up. Whatever my wife says to my kids, I don't normally say this, my wife says to my kids, you should have a fruit for snack. I don't really encourage them. I don't discourage them either. But my wife says, have a fruit for snack. My kids say, that doesn't fill me up. So I said, come on, yes it does. But we're told here that the Mishnah Berurah says, it doesn't fill you up. People eat fruit, likinuch, but not to fill you up. You're not full. You much rather a snack of cookies than it tastes better. And it also fills you up more so than fruit do. So any
sweetness in that case, as you call it, dessert, is to kind of clean your palate or make you leave the table with a good...
Exactly. It's for the mouth, not for the stomach.
What about the kugels that you have during the meal? Like
those are there to satiate. All the kugels you have during the course of the meal, even if they have fruits in them, that's certainly to satiate a person.
Yes.
Okay, fine. So now, in light of this discussion, so the Sefer Zos HaBracha discusses some examples of desserts that might or might not fall under this category. So one thing he discusses are, you know, fruits.
Is this an old book or a new book?
This I got around 15, 20 years ago, so it's considered contemporary. Definitely. He's still, the Mechaber is still alive, and he writes editions.
Yes.
Yeah, but I'm saying it was written 20 years ago, 25 years ago, but yeah, it's contemporary, and maybe needs some updating. Either way, so he says examples of things are chocolate. A person has chocolate at the end of the meal, so that would require, now even if it would be normal for a person to have chocolate, and that he would, part of his meal, he has a dessert as part of his meal every single day of the week, that still would be considered a dessert. Even though you enjoy it, it doesn't really satiate you, you like the sweetness of it.
So it's interesting. Between the shahakal and mazonis. We all know that if you have a piece of cake after the meal, cake.
Right. So we'll get to cakes. You know, that's the next step, how to deal with cakes. Cakes are more complicated, as we'll see.
But some people, we kind of concluded, I'm not sure if I had this discussion with Rabbi Weinberger also, but we kind of concluded yesterday that in America, it is considered all part of the meal, and you don't have to.
For cakes. Well, we'll get the cakes. We'll get there shortly. Right now, fruit, you also have eights. Now, when we say fruits, we're not limited to ha'eitz fruits, even adama fruits.
Right.
Fruits, now exactly, strawberries, there are melon, that you have pineapple. All these things, although they're in adama, it's considered fruit. Okay. Anything sweet, I should say, because fruit has different definitions in halacha, has different definitions in
agriculture.
Science, agriculture. You know, tomatoes are considered fruits, officially.
We ask that when you have a salad.
But tomatoes are certainly not considered fruit for desserts. No one eats tomatoes as dessert. It's part of the salad, and that is part of the meal. So then he writes something interesting here. What about glida? What about ice cream? So what bracha would you say in ice cream? So you say shakel. So fine. So another point, that's an ikar tafel, but forget, let's say it's not a cone. It just have some scoops of ice cream. So is that going to be covered by, would you say a shackle? So it's certainly dessert. It's certainly not there to satiate you.
We concluded it was a drink.
Ah, so very good. So what it says in the bottom here, in the footnote, he says as follows. There are those who write that you do not say a bracha and glida at the end of the suda because ice cream has the din of a mashke. And a mashke drink during the meal is always covered. You never say a separate bracha on drinks. Now, there is another topic about drinks. You know, tea at the end, coffee at the end, schnapps in the beginning might be viewed as separate from the meal. That's another topic. But let's assume all drinks are covered during the meal. You don't say a shakel on a soda or on water. So if ice cream is going to be classified as a drink because it's somewhat liquidy, somewhat solid, it's in the middle, it's congealed of some sort. So some say not to say a separate bracha on ice cream at the end. And that's what he heard in the name of Moshe Feinstein in regards to these sugars that one should not say one.
What is the reasoning on the drink being covered? Is it our second Orach HaShulchan reason, not our Iker Tuffel? Is it part of the satisfying thing?
It's a good question. I'm not sure. I could see it being part. It seems to me you don't eat it with the bread, so it seemingly be part of that second Orach HaShulchan.
Right.
That, as Rob said, the umbrella. The bread's the umbrella for everything.
Or satisfying, so, even.
But I don't know if the...
Because to wash it down.
Well, I think it's the same idea, though. Meaning the first idea of Iker V'Tafel...
is washing down.
No, but Iker V'Tafel was only when you eat them together. You don't eat the bread with the water.
Well, sometimes you do to wash it down.
Right, but normally... But if you didn't, so then it would require its own bracha. No one would say it requires its own bracha. So it has to be that umbrella idea that's part of the meal. Hamotzi is part of the meal. Everything that falls under the bread, even though it's eaten separately or drink separately, it's still covered.
And the reason the Geffen is not included is because it's not part of the meal, or it's because of a higher level bracha than Motzi?
Good question also. Good question. I'm not sure. I think they're both different as far as that I brought down in Mishonim. It's a very good question. I'm not sure. Okay, so that's all according to one opinion, that you do not say a shahakol on ice cream. But then he quotes other opinions who think that you do. And he quotes Zos Echad Migdol
Hador. After?
Sorry?
Before, during, or after? Because sometimes they put a little ices on the thing before. What are we talking about? After the ice cream?
After? What are you talking after? Before
the meal? The meal.
As dessert?
Yeah.
As dessert.
Before.
Dessert right now.
I'm saying, does it apply before? Like, can I give you that little ices before?
Well, that's ice. You don't eat dessert before.
Yeah.
You didn't answer that.
No. Sometimes they put the sherbet on.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm not sure about that. I don't know. I would assume it requires his own bracha, but I don't know. I don't know. But what he quotes here from Echad Migdolei Hador, which I believe, when he quotes Echad Migdolei Hador, he's referring to Rav Yashiv, I'm pretty sure. That's the klal he says here. He says a person should say a bracha, even on ice cream, and he quotes others as well. So there's a machlokas. See, paskins on top, a person should say a shahakol on ice cream. What I try to do, if possible, if my wife serves ice cream for dessert, I'll try to get a candy or some chocolate chips I'll take out. Say a shakel on those, because those are certainly shakel, and have that covering my ice cream as well. That's a way around that problem, but he writes on top, Pashtus is, you do say shakel on ice cream.
Can I let you in on our debate? So I said, maybe it's better to bench and make a separate bracha afterwards, and this way you're also saying more brachas, and you're covered. And then Rabbi Rechman said, no, I think maybe those would be brachas that are not really necessary if you went that course.
Right.
So we were having a back and forth about that.
There's a discussion about that. We'll see in just a moment this next halacha about cakes now, that some advise because of the suffix that's at hand, it's better to bench and then afterwards say new bracha on desserts. But that is a discussion we'll come across in just a moment. I was going to say something. Oh, in terms of the ice cream being classified as a liquid versus a solid, it does affect other halachas. There's a Gemara Nida, a side topic. There's a Gemara Nida that says that sheleg, snow, is lo ochel v'lo mashke. It's not food, nor is it liquid. What exactly is snow? So some relevant halachas are, let's say, are you allowed to use snow as a mikvah? Right. So is that a possibility? So let's say you live up where somewhere up who knows north and you can't get out of the house and it's snowing and you have a new kalim or a person needs to, a woman needs to go to the mikvah. Are you allowed to use the snow as the mikvah?
It's a big difference between a woman and kalim.
Correct.
On the sukkah, there was snow on the top. Didn't you do that one time?
I maybe mentioned it, but I don't know if I mentioned this aspect of it, whether it's classified as a liquid or solid. So if snow is considered a liquid, so then you could use it as a mikvah. It has a din of mayim. But if it's not considered a liquid, it's considered a solid, then you couldn't use it. So that affects the halachas of mikvah, it affects the halachas of tumah v'tahara, it affects the halachas of ice cream. That's the basis of this discussion of ice cream. Okay, now let's move to the last category of cakes. Now, the difficulty with discussing cakes is because we really haven't discussed the halachas yet of a pasa baba kissin, which is going to be next week's topic. The pasa baba kissin simply is there are certain types of bread items that are not actually bread. They're more desserts. They're mizonos. So just for example, crackers. Crackers would be an example. That's why Svardim don't say hamotzi and mata throughout the year, because it's crackers. And crackers are one of the examples we'll see next week that it's a mizonos. Unless I have enough of that crackers, enough of the matzah, which is a large shear, I would say a mizonos. If I do have a large shear, I would then say hamotzi and birkas hamazon. So other examples would be pies. Certain pies and certain cakes, as we know, are all mizonos. So that's part of the discussion. So if I assume there's a three-way machlokas, what's pas baba kissin? So again, the klal is pas.
What's baba kissin mean?
Pas baba kissin literally means that it comes with pockets. But there's a debate what that that means. So let's say I assume pas baba kissin is crackers. So then I don't think cake is pas baba kissin. That means cake is actually bread. And if I think cake is pas baba kissin, then I define matzahs, crackers, as being hamotzi. So it seems like they're mutually exclusive. So now what happens is, if I'm at a meal now, and I'm having cake, well, some hold that's a mizonos, but others hold that's hamotzi. Now, if it's hamotzi, the cake,
there is such a concept?
There's such a concept. We don't pass in this way, but it gets complicated. But if I can't say a separate bracha of mizonos on this, because maybe it's a bread item, and it's already been covered by the hamotzi in the beginning. Yeah. I mean, if I have, I started off with hamotzi in the beginning of the meal, and then I have other types of bread throughout the meal, I will never have to say hamotzi on that, because they're part of the hamotzi. So now, even though cake independently would be mizonos, it still might be categorized as a type of bread. Or it might also be there not only to give me flavor and taste, but maybe there to satiate me. It fills you up like a kugel. A carrot kugel is a type of cake. If you have it during the meal, that's certainly there to satiate. So now I'm having the same idea. I'm having a cake at the end, a brownie, which is maybe a sweeter type of carrot kugel. Just not called a kugel, it's called a cake, but it really is the same thing.
Maybe
so
it's included.
That's part of satiating. So it gets very complicated about cakes. So that's the issue. So the klal is as follows. I'll tell you the klal, and then I'll give some of the recommendations what to do with these things. It's brought down in the Shulchan Aruch, Kuf Samech Ches Siv Ches. Shulchan Aruch writes, in the Shulchan Aruch, in Simen Kuf Samech Ches.
What category is this?
Hilchos, it's called Betzias HaPas, where he talks about the halachas of bread. So he's talking about the halacha of Pas HaBaba Kissen, which again are these examples of bread items that are really downgraded to mizonos. So
this is generally Ashkenazi?
No, this is Sfardim also. Next week we'll discuss a little bit more about Sfardim Ashkenazim, about Pas Baba Kissin and mizonos breads that you guys have that we don't have. But the Shulchan Aruch writes, I'achaluhu besocha suda. If you eat any of these Pas Baba Kissins, let's call them cakes for now, shalom achmas suda, you don't eat them as part of the meal, you eat it as a dessert, then they're tu'unim bracha lifnam, you require a separate bracha before. So firstly, he says, if they're not because of the suda, but if they are because of the suda, so then you would not have to say a bracha. So if I have a carrot kugel, which is pretty much a cake, I'm having it as part of the meal, machmas suda, to lasbia, to satiate me, everybody agrees, it does not require bracha. The only shaila is if you're having it at the end of the meal, after you're full, to add some flavor to your mouth. That's the only shaila. So now you're at the dessert time, and you want to eat some cake, do you require bracha? So he says, the Mishnah Berurah explains that if you're eating an amount, so much, as we said before, typically if a person has a muffin, which is also a type of pas baba kissin, it's a mizonos, it's a sweet type of bread, a very sweet type of bread, you don't say hamotzi. But let's say I have I have five muffins for my meal, let's say. So now that's a meal that would require a mozi before I eat these muffins, let's say.
That's the classic pizza discussion.
Pizza, a little bit more complicated. It might be considered actual bread nowadays, but we'll get to that next week in Mirat Hashem. But let's say muffins.
You have the fourth muffin, the third is, now you have the fourth and fifth. I didn't say mozi because you didn't.
Good question.
You're in the middle. It's a good question. You have one.
Very good. Next week's topic. That's next week's topic. But right now I'm having five muffins, which I would normally say hamotzi on.
Right.
So then, if I have it at the end of the meal, I want to have five muffins for my dessert. I definitely would not require a mizonos. So let's give another example. Let's say I'm having a pie, a blueberry pie for my dessert. So blueberry pie might, according to all opinions, require mizonos. Because I said before, the three types of pasa baba kissins. there's a cracker, there's a type that has fruit filled, and then there's the where the actual cake material is made. The dough is made of some sweet type of dough. So a apple pie, a blueberry pie,
what
kind of fits.
Was the second one filled?
It's filled. I have a little fruit pie, fruit inside. Yeah. And the third opinion is where the actual dough is a very sweet type of dough, which is like most cakes. Those are three types we'll discuss next week. But let's say I could create a situation. And some say, the only time I would have to say a mizono separately on dessert is if my dessert is qualifies for all three. If it's only crackers, so then some say crackers are possible b'kissin, but others think crackers are actually hamotzi. So since it's a suffix, better for me not to say hamizonos on that cracker at the end of my meal for dessert. That's well, yeah, we'll get to final psak in a second, but let's say I have an item that qualifies for all three in one. It's a pie where it's a cracker bottom, let's say, has some dough, which is a sweet type of dough, and has filling. So you've accomplished all three, let's say. So according to all opinions, this is considered a pas baba kissin and would require mizonos if I eat it separately. So if I eat it during the meal, it certainly would require mizonos as a dessert. Because it's, according to all opinions, it's a pas baba kissin.
Even during the meal?
As a dessert. As a dessert after. Of the meal. But let's say I decide to have so much apple pie that if I were to eat it separately as a meal, I would require hamotzi. I'm eating five pieces of this apple pie.
Why can't you just say a whole pie? You ate a whole pie. Make it real.
Okay, fine.
Make it real.
Okay. Five pieces
you
also real.
You can eat the whole pie because it's so good.
I can also eat five pieces if I want as well. So I want to eat five pieces. I want to eat a whole pie, which would require hamotzi normally. So if I'm eating that now as a dessert, I'm eating this entire meal, this entire pie as a dessert, I would not say mizonos in that case. Because since I'm eating so much, that requires hamotzi. And the motzi that I said in the beginning of the meal already would cover it. Now, a very unlikely circumstance, of course. Either way, that's what's brought down in the Mishnah Berurah.
Yeah, but also it would potentially change, like we said. I know it's next week. But you started with one, and you said mizonos. And then you ended up eating the whole pie. And now it turned out to be your meal.
So we'll discuss that hopefully next week a little bit. Let's get down to Halach Lamaisa. What are you supposed to do when it comes to cakes? When it comes to shehakol desserts, when it comes to ha'etana dama desserts, everybody agrees it requires its own bracha. The complications are...
Not so fast. For the shehakol and the eitz and adama, everyone agrees it's its own?
Yes.
The question is on mazonos?
Exactly. So I'm going to read to you what it's written in Zosa Bracha. Then if I have time, hopefully we'll read to you what it says in Rav Badner Sefer. What it says in Zosa Bracha is, most types of cakes here, a person should not say a bracha. Most. Person should not say bracha as a dessert because there's a strong possibility that has a din of a pas gamor that's really considered bread, most types of cakes. And therefore, since it's a type of bread, it's already been included in the hamotzi in the beginning of the meal. But if you have a type of cake that fulfills all three types of pas baba kissin, like I said before, where it's definitely, according to all opinions, not bread, then you would say a separate mizonos as a dessert. So then he writes, it's very, very hard to find such a dessert that satisfies
cracker,
all three.
And sweet dough.
It's very hard. Page 75. So he says, though it's very difficult to find nowadays such a cake that fulfills and satisfies all different conditions. So therefore, as a klal, he says, most cakes, it's safe to assume not to say a bracha on these things. Okay.
Did we say the ice cream? What about ices?
One second. So the cake comes out after the meal.
Mm-hmm.
It's Shabbos, and the cake comes out, and it does not satisfy all three. It's a marble cake or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
If in almost 90% of the households or whatever have gone, and you see them come out in Shomer Mitzvah's households, let's say on the Shabbos day, you're invited, they come out, and everybody's making mizonos with it.
Right. So I've seen also, I've seen...
As I do myself.
Right. So, again, I've seen people do this as well. People who know a lot, they do that. And there must be who to rely on. I didn't do enough research to get every single opinion. From what I'm learning from right here, it seems that that wouldn't be the best advice to do. It sounds like only if it really satisfies all three opinions. But again, I've seen big Talmid Chachamim who've said a mizonos on a regular piece of cake. And now, I should point out also that when it comes to rice cakes, people get confused. Or not rice cakes, let's say Rice Krispie treats.
Yes, right.
Mm. So that's a mizonos. So people would assume, just like you don't say mizonos on a piece of cake, you wouldn't say mizonos on Rice Krispie treats. But that's not true. Because the only reason why you don't say mizonos on cakes is because it's possible that it's bread. Rice Krispie treats are not bread, by any means. Happens to be a mizonos. It's certainly a dessert. You would say mizonos. But regarding your case, I would, again, maybe ask Rebbe what he thinks, what he advises. But it seems from this sugya, and maybe you discussed with him yesterday, it seems that unless it satisfies all three types of definitions of passive babakism, one should avoid saying a separate mizonos on all cakes at the end of the meal.
And what about the question I brought up before about, well, maybe it's really better to bench and say separate brachas?
Okay, very good. So I'm going to look here in a second. I wonder if he's the one who advised. I saw this somewhere. I'm trying to remember this. Let's see. Here, let's go through this a little bit. He says, here we go. He gives an example. This is Reb Bodner here. He writes, apple pie, according to all views, is not classified as bread. And therefore, if one were to have an apple pie or a blueberry pie, that's the one example where one would say a mizonos on this.
Interesting. So you're saying it has all three.
Right, so he gives, so his advice is as follows. Very important advice what he says. The poskim advice, and he's quoting from El Chai Adam and Kaf HaChaim, that one should do as follows. That since in many cases making a bracha for cake eaten during the meal is questionable, one should have specific intent when making the hamotzi to exempt any cake he might subsequently eat during the meal. That's the advice he recommends. So now it's hard to remember this. You have to train yourself to think, before I say the motzi, this is going to cover any dessert my wife's going to bring, or at least any bread or cake dessert my wife's going to bring. That's the best advice. Now, it really requires
but
you have to be very trained and
you say dessert is dessert, and disciplined. The meal is the meal.
Right, but you still have to be disciplined to train yourself to think that every time I say emoji, it's going to have that in mind. So if a person could do that, great. That seems to be the best advice. There'll be never any shilas, and your emoji will always cover the cake that's at the end of the meal.
Oh, you're saying keep it in mind or not keep it in mind?
No, keep it in mind. When you say emoji, keep it in mind.
Somebody else's house, do you have to have that in mind?
Very good question. Very good question. Another debate. So, not sure exactly how that works, but another person, when he's saying emoji,
right.
It's a good question. I don't know exactly. It's a good point. Now, regarding your question, I don't remember where I saw this, but this is brought down that some therefore advise, because this suffix, better to say benching, birkas hamazon, and your meal, and then have your dessert afterwards, have some dessert and tea, whatever else you want, to avoid any svekas. But I can't remember where I saw this, though.
With God's help, we really have to sit down and write a script.
Okay, for now, though, we'll stop here. Shkoyach, everyone. Next week, we'll do...